hát ez még dolgok között láttam, a pályázni a jelöt,
Oké, hát nem tudom, hogy tudtam. That's the meditation, and then the other one is the question and answer? Okay.
And then they'll have the, then, that's like a super aspect of it, but then they have a fund, they do the type of fund and the contribution to do that, and keep that, you know, with like a flower stuck in with all this and then I see. And they do it in such a way that it's not like making an endeavor. Then on a Saturday afternoon, but it is like 2 hours before class, it's like 4:30. And then, you know, it's interesting in the class.
Not specifically about that, but keeping it on a different topic. On the topic of continuing, I think it was it when we had a gathering yesterday, some mentioned that participation in the Saturday program isn't at the same level that it was when it first started. Okay, well, I'm going to address that. And it's much easier. While there's challenges in starting something, it's much easier to start something than to maintain something. Because to maintain something requires the quality of goodness, which is a expansion of joy. But if one wants to make continued progress, the mode of goodness has to be amplified or exercised, and then it has to act. The purpose is that the mode of ignorance, or that the mode of ignorance the mode of goodness facilitates, like purification or even duty. Because if something, duty means this is something that's really good to me, I should do this because it's really good to me. Not just someone twisting my arm, so I guess I gotta do it. Not that kind of duty, but because I'm convinced that it's good for me. Like maintaining chances. You know, attraction may be there, attraction may be not there. But I'm chanting because I'm fixed there because I know it's good for me. That's not the highest platform, but it's a platform of maintaining something. So, kind of, you know, like a zooming along the runway and then lift off and now you're floating. Your group has gone through some thing like that. And then after, you know, the novelty wears off, it's like marriage. You know, after the novelty of now and we're married, and the honeymoon is over, and then you're married. And what's that? It's you're in a relationship with another person. And it's a, you know, it's a commitment to the other person, and the relationship to that other person, or with that other person. There's a whole other thing than getting married. That's, you know, that's fun. And then there's being married. accept another. So, as a group, to assist one another in going forward in Krishna consciousness, that's a great asset. But it's something you have to keep investing in. That recommitting. And in ever increasing the, and this is a mode of business, it's an ever increasing the deepening appreciation for what you're receiving. And that sense of gratitude is in the heart, it's easy to maintain, it's easy to be more resistant. And continue something that's good because it's good. Each time you're describing deities that the grandson of Krishna installed, and that over time the standard of the worship of the divinities decreased and eventually the deity was lost. It's not uncommon for that to happen. Not only from Krishna's time, even Lord Chaitanya's time. There was a deity during Lord Chaitanya's time, a deity of Gorgadatta, it was the brother of Gadadhar Pandit. Vaninath Vasu was the brother, imagine being the brother of Gadadhar Pandit. And Lord Chaitanya came to see him with Gadadhar Pandit and said, I'm going to be taking sannyas. Which meant divide. That's what it meant. And Vaninath Vasu just broke down, weeping and sobbing and saying, screaming with his teeth going through there. But he didn't want to stop him from doing what he wanted to do, but he couldn't bear the separation. So Lord Chaitanya manifested as two deities, deity self and Gadadhar Pandit, so you can worship a deity form. And Vaninath Vasu worshiped that deity form. And over generations and generations and generations, to the time of Bhakti Siddhanta, nobody knew what a deity was. So Bhakti Siddhanta, being a transcendentalist, he was very much wanting to know what his deity was. And it wasn't so long ago, it wasn't like thousands of years ago, it was several hundred years ago. So he kept searching and searching and searching and searching and searching and inquiring and asking, and he finally found that there was a Brahmin who was a Shakta. But he heard that this Brahmin was a Shakta. Once a week, in an abandoned old shed, he went and did some other puja. So just on a, maybe, Bhakti Siddhanta followed up, and sure enough, there were the deities of Gorgadatta. But then, the worship of the deities is up. So then, Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur requested the Brahmin if he could have the honor of continuing that worship. He did tell him what the duty was, and he said, I'm a Vaishnava, and you're a Shakta, I'd be happy to worship these deities for me, but you can. So then it was him. And then he established a temple for them. One of the 64 temples of Bhakti Siddhanta is in Champahati, very most of it. Just to narrate this is to say that even in the lives of pure devotees, that commune with Krishna directly, generations later, it may not be the same. So starting something that has a very high purpose, it requires a continued commitment and investment of time and energy, because this world fulfilled with that, think you let yourself get distracted, and you got plenty of stuff to do because there isn't time for the basics. And the other way around, the internal energy works in such a way, if you make a commitment to devotional service, then there's time to take care of the basics of devotion and everything else. Because the time energy works differently. So, hit the reset button on commitment and renew commitment to this class, because it's a medium for Sangha and Krishna Katha and personal association and training, that it would be a big resource to miss out on. The positive side is it's a great blessing. We'll say it even differently. Something like this had been done, you know, 20 years ago or 30 years ago in Guyana. Where would the yatra be? In a different yatra. I'm saying this, provided this continues, it can help in a significant way add great value and spiritual strength to the whole yatra. Not a trifle, but where there's commitment to the a nice standard of devotional service, then the spiritual energy starts to flow. And it arrives individually and collectively and get a healthy outcome. What's the third one?
If I'm not there, at some point mentioned sometimes, we think that we have attained some level of understanding of the process. On the other side, the temple is likely to keep, you know, these that the devotees can be so in the temple, and then the temple is supposed to come back. You know, in this case, what happens is that there's going to, you know, because the committee to other side, then the country itself is explaining that, because many times the temple might have, you know, something on the Saturday evening. You know, sometimes, then, you know, people can hear, or on Sunday we have, let's just like right now, we just put on the feet, and we have a, you know, right now, but then some of the temples might have to have some time and then, you know, so then you're missing out on class activity. What we consider all of the class activity. So, you know, I don't think it is right for me to go do this stuff, you know, for our, I think it's like, you know, really, you know, it's the edge of the service, you know, our class is not our lesson, you know. That's just priority.
I'll say the same thing a little differently. There's no time at all. In fact, I recommend it for you to speak to invite a discussion with the management. And Shivandi invited me to have a discussion with the management here. So I brought it towards the end. I brought this topic up. And that the frame of the topic was the respect, full respect between Kārava Muni and Swami Vimanu, shown in the third canto of Bhagavatam, where Kārava Muni is a brahmana, like a super brahmana, a mystic brahmana, and Swami Vimanu is a manu of the whole universe. So they're both, you know, way up there. But their regard for the other was with such respect that Prabhupada explains in the purport. By that respect, everything flourishes. And minus that respect, nothing will flourish. God is expressing that they, or in the management team in Vyatra, they appreciate what Paramatma is doing and sit down and have some dialogue about, you know, or before approaching people, go and speak to them, you know, do you think so and so, and do you think there's an observance, or would that be good for them, and so on. And, you know, by that mutual respect, you get much more than if you, you know, don't have it. So I don't know how they digested that message, but I feel that message. And for all of you, same thing, someone, here's the routine that you had in the Bhakta program in the temple. Some Bhakta, in the Bhakta meant they didn't have any fixed service yet. And so the kitchen department wants some help, and the cleaning department wants some help, and the Harinam department wants some sponsors, and this group and that group, it just becomes a labor base. So what we found, what happened was the Bhakta could be approached by 10 different people to do, you know, 10 different things. And then we got confused. So it became a policy that the Bhakta was saying, if somebody asks you for something, you just refer them to the Bhakta leader. Just ask the Bhakta leader. And then the temple devotees were saying, don't approach the Bhakta. If you have some need for some help, you go to the Bhakta leader. And then he'll decide based upon what's going on with their life, you know, yes or no, or maybe. And it was just that. Whether you value that service the Bhakta leader is doing, didn't want the Bhakta leader to be disturbed, or the Bhakta to be disturbed. So, it's not that you're forever Bhakta, you're adult. But at the same time, there's this relationship with your teacher that you don't just walk away from, okay, no, I'm a big devotee now, so I'm grown up, so I just, see you later. But there's nothing more that a teacher would like to, or a parent would like to see in their children, that they grow up, become mature adults, and do mature, responsible citizenship service. And for that to be attempted prematurely is not something that a parent or a teacher would want. So, from your side, respect the relationship, the commitment that Paramahansa has made to all of you. And someone asks you, can you be part of this committee, that service, or go to this program, or that thing? In some polite way, say, let me think about it. Or you directly say, I'm going to, let me speak to Paramahansa and see how this will work with the existing program we have. Or simply say, well, I already have the commitment on that night, something. So at some other time, if you consider, but that's in conflict with our existing program. Something that's polite, not like, snubby, but respectful. And if at a particular time in the evolution of your Krishna consciousness taking on some XYZ service, whatever that is, then think about my mentality. And I'm inspired and I should do this. I have this opportunity to do that, and when you can, it'll bless you. But the commitment that he's making for all of you is to train you to become exemplary and leader devotees. And I guess, saying it bluntly, he needs more training to come to that stage. And
one little more point before I ask the ladies. That is, this year, at the beginning of the year, we had an open meeting where I asked the devotees to give the suggestion of what's next. What's next? Because I thought that direction, the guy was taking the direction, you know, the mountain service, you know, so then the suggestion that we restart, or that what we used to do one stroke every week, so that we restart that, is what, you know, discontinue the day for that stroke. We didn't want to continue a new stroke area, we have hot spots, and everything becomes permanent, so we're going to start the stroke one stroke at that, every week. We're going to do some, I think, and we need to do that also, that is like, you know, we need to run into the instrument, and, training, you know, all the, development ones, we have to do. And, what are some other points we discussed? Left over the bulletin, we're going to start, we'll do the left over instruction, if it may help. Yeah, we always do some Japanese form, Japanese seminar, that's ongoing, coming down to coming. And okay, so you can update the post and we're going to be doing.
How do you guess about the Bhagavad Gita?
I just would like to ask that question. What is there something that you would like to add to that? Or
yeah. Follow Guru Jan, surrender to me. And go by the group of verses. Because Bhagavad Gita, the chapters are put together by clusters of verses that, when put together, they make the message of the chapter, and the chapters together make the message of the book. So take clusters of verses, then it's, you know, it's thematic rather than, you know, you don't see the thread. And many of them, it's just, you know, a few verses. If you see it, there's a, you know, cluster verses that's particularly big, you can break it. But go by that system. Because many of the verses connect. So then, when you read the purport, you can appreciate the beauty of what Prabhupada has done in this purport, in addition to that, you know, how the verses connect. And how the verses together make the chapter, and the chapter together make the book. So rather than a verse a day, because you lose the thread, it's a group of verses that I'm saying sub-team.
What are you going to say, group a day? And you're talking about memory?
No. No. You know how it's set up, right?
I know exactly.
So, there's a little heading. So, let's say, chapter 2, verses 12 through 14, or 12 through 17. There's a heading, and then there's, like, you know, a sentence or two of what those set of verses are. So, focusing on using his system, the main point of that set of verses, you highlight that and see how that, you see the thread. You wiggle the thread over here, and something in the verse wiggles over there. And you show it's connected to the main point. And then you see Prabhupada's purport, how he builds the main point. You know, but he's just bringing home bhakti. That's appreciation. If the devotees, if they do that on such a regular diet, it doesn't have to be, you know, such super high level kind of consideration, just, you know, the basic, what's the main point, and how does this main point weave itself into these verses that we're studying this evening. And even somebody taking that another step, and someone can do some research.
Huh?
I'm sitting on frogs and frogs. There's a And I'm visiting, you want to know that I'm visiting, this is his home. Here comes, get a look at me. Anyway, do you think things about it?
Yeah, no, I think I understand.
Then it's the appreciation goes to what the theme is, and it's also a nice training of how to be bothered to do that. You're not just, you know, you're not just seeing pearls without the string, just holding them together. You're seeing the pearls and the string holding them together. You see Krishna. But you're seeing the theme, and it's the whole the message of bothered to do it together. You know your audience, maybe that won't work with your audience, but I think if you are a teacher, appreciated that, you can communicate and discuss the matter that comes across. And if your excitement in the topic alone is saying it. Okay. Okay, so question time. It's now 6:30. Any topics, anyone?
Sometimes you're sorted. You have to be some sorted. And you have to deal with different individuals who have to assist you in accomplishing the service. But it is difficult to deal with these sorting. And it is sometimes a disappointment. They just actually disturb you. They were in practice or whatever, disturb you to the point of thing. In simple practice, it comes back to you. How do we deal with scenarios like that? Okay.
Depends on the person. Some persons I can think of one or two. I'd rather not have common service with. I won't mention the name. But there are some persons like that. Well, the different, this is a, the response to your question could turn into a long response. Because, you know, Vaishnava relationship has all kinds of subtleties and dimensions and so on. In a broad general way, your situation is you're part of a community. It's not like you can just, like, ignore an individual that's part of the community and, you know, like they don't even exist. They exist and they're a part of the community. So, then I have to deal with it, which is what your question is. They can't just ignore it. Depending on, you know, the nature of the individual, the degree of the problem that you're experiencing, if it's not, like, you know, totally extreme, something that I've found over the course of time is it's really successful is deciding instead of like having this tension between myself and this other individual, let me just commit to strengthening my relationship with this other individual. And even when, you know, you can see very well, I won't go into details, but you can see very well. This isn't being recorded, right? you can see very well, you know, the person has some you know, some problem. No, you're not the only one that sees it. This person has some problem. But they're part of the Sangha here. So let me commit to strengthen my relationship with this person. And it's not, it doesn't happen overnight, but in course of time, and you know, a series of, it's not just what you do with the person, but it's how you speak about the person to others. Because trust that when you speak about another person, it goes back to that person. Trust me. I mean, there's exceptions where it might not, but the rule is it goes back to the person. If you're appreciating, it's not like you don't know what the shortcomings of that person are, but if you're consistently appreciating the good qualities of this person, the devotion to Krishna that this person has, or whatever it is, and it's genuine, it's not just diplomacy, some general appreciation of the person, something starts to happen. It's quite natural that it starts to happen. The things you may wish to say to the person, you can say to the person. Or even they bring up the topic, telling you, what do you think about this? I had that happen just recently, two times. And, you know, one situation was the person that, you know, looked down and said, I know I have this problem. Now, I know more deeply why they have the problem, but I didn't go there. I just, you know, this is something that, you know, I'm a well-wisher, you know I'm a well-wisher. And this is something that if we're used to work on. So following Anushka's course on feedback, it's appreciation, room for improvement, appreciation. What's the person of feedback? Improvement, right? Not like putting the other person down, but improvement. Because we're here together to help. So when you invest in the relationship, then there's some circumstance Krishna will indicate, or even there's some direct question from the person, or some situation arises where, you know, the opportunity for appreciation, growth for improvement. And then, you know, then the person, their heart is open. They're not content. And, well, it's not like that, you know, people don't understand how difficult it is to do things around here, probably, you know, justification, projection, fault finding, you know, anything that acknowledges that there's a problem. But the starting point is investing in the relationship. And then, if circumstance permits, to address that situation in a non-confrontational way. Because you care about the person. And they know that you care about them. They see it. It's consistent. It's compared to others. It's real. You care about the person. So when you're coming, where the place that you're coming from is you care about the person. You have the right for them. That relationship is important to you. That's one approach. Sometimes just their heart melts. Or sometimes, in Bhurijan's language, the Krishna factor acts. Now, Krishna addresses that situation, and that person fights by means other than you're directly doing so. But your role is just, you know, investing in the relationship. And you may not do something directly, but Krishna may do something. And a fifth option is to speak with that person's superior or someone who you know that they respect and will listen. And you're not coming as a complainer, but as a well-wisher. I care about this individual. And this is an area of concern. So then that person, who they have that kind of a caring relationship with, dialogue with, and open-hearted, etc., exchange that that person can share in a way that doesn't hurt the other individual. Because the interest is improvement. The interest isn't putting the other person down or labeling them or something like that. It connects a little bit with a question we asked the other day about mood of service. If the frame of your question is you have service to do, and it's in a team, you didn't use the word, but you're a group of people, others are participating in common service, and one individual is just irritated. And you have to deal with it. So, the mood of service is not just there's a task to get done. I was sharing this with another devotee in the room during this business. One value is there's a task to get done. And another value is the relationships are the most important thing. Because, and I was sharing this with Kidanda's group, the temple board here. Same message. There's a task, you know, we have a certain set of tasks to push on in our the strength of our team is how many tasks we get done. And then another kind of team is we value the relationships that we have with one another and we invest significantly in those relationships. And, oh, by the way, lots of tasks are getting done because relationships are right. And if the relationships aren't right, you spend, are not right, you spend so much time dealing with dysfunctional relationships. So, that's in the relationship, especially with the common service together. And you can, you know, call upon resources, others, to assist, but do so in the mode of service. Not, in, they're an obstacle for getting the task done. Can you remove them, please? Or at least put a muzzle on them, and a leash.
Maharaj,
below. Same principle, investing in relationships. Maybe that phrase doesn't mean things to other people that it means to me, just because I live with that. Invest in relationships. Something that you value and you invest in. It's a business sense of it. But in relational, there's somebody and you appreciate that person. I'll give a practical example. There's Dravida Prabhu. Dravida, you don't know Dravida, but you do know. Okay. He's an editor. He's a brahmachari, you know, in his mid-50s or plus. Just he's a brahmachari, very simple, nice, you know. So one of the things that he has done is he recites purpose beautifully. So there's a group of devotees in one of our congregations and they like what he does. So I invite him, can you come to a seminar that we're conducting, and one of the things you can do is recite purpose, and you can hold a separate class and showing people how to recite purpose. And you know, you did some other things too. And it was really, really, really nice. And from that experience, that's a person that I would like to further invest in that relationship. And I'd like to just have him around, be around him. And so, you know, his qualities are so nice. He's a Brahmin. He's gentle, he's humble, you know, he likes Krishna much. He relishes how he can look Krishna Katha. It's just like, whoa. This is the person I want to think. But I, you know, my service has not been, and he's been on the West Coast and I've been on the East Coast, and our services don't have that. And I'm going to consciously invest in that relationship. That's on, you know, on a positive side. But it can be, you know, when there's a problem, and one might choose to invest in that relationship. Whether it's, you know, management, somebody upstairs, or somebody on part of our team, or just somebody that's over there.
That application is not here. I think that spoken about you and it get back to you.
Yeah.
And it hurts. And
the I think I've heard you say this before.
How and it's kinda you kinda lose that kind of eagerness when you have to go among or associates. How do you how do you deal with it, or how do you
associate,
or what state of mind should you be in?
Okay. Well, you know, the nicest is to be intelligent for consciousness. You know, like those verses that we read. But, you know, the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, we'll start there. The picture of Bhagavad Gita. How is the picture of Bhagavad Gita? You know, the picture of it. To tolerate just supposing, you know, there's a mosquito biting my leg right now, there isn't one. Just supposing he's like sitting, But I'm in kirtan, playing cartels, and someone likes kirtan, saying that because my consciousness is absorbed in kirtan. I don't even notice what's going on over here. Because my consciousness is in the higher place. So, tolerating doesn't just mean, oh, it hurts, but I'll pretend that it doesn't hurt, although it hurts. It's, you withdraw consciousness from something that's on that platform, the platform of the body, and you invest consciousness in that which is eternal. It's not just, you know, it's not impersonal. It's personal. You invest consciousness in Krishna. And you, when you're absorbed in Radha Krishna, Krishna, things that happen over here on this duality, it can be the other side of duality, honor. Genuine, not just false flattery, but genuine honor. And one can get all disturbed, oh, last I found an intelligent person, I didn't understand. Prabodhananda Saraswati speaks like this, about how to teach. Problem was the same. He said, you come before a puffed up materialist and you say, my dear sir, you are so learned, you are so wise, you are such a pious man. And the person is thinking, oh, here's an intelligent person. What is it that you have to say? And then Prabodhananda says that this is in Chaitanya Chandramita. Just for one moment, set aside all that rubbish that you've learned and just hear the glory of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the chanting of the holy name. So, if consciousness can be invested in something higher, then it's easy to tolerate. Because, or at least a little bit lower, is by knowledge. It's temporary. It's part of the illusory energy. What's the value of a shadow on the wall? You know how kids do that? You put light source and there's a shadow and there's a bird and there's a dog and inside of here. It's not a bird or a dog, it is. It's a shadow on the wall. There's no substance in honor and dishonor. It's just from knowledge. So how do you deal with it? Be situated in knowledge. A little higher. Through devotional practice, you become sufficiently absorbed in Krishna that it doesn't, you know, it doesn't create your devotional service, it doesn't impede your devotional service. It doesn't have anything to do with devotional service. Now, if you're not on the platform of knowledge and not on the platform of devotion, then it hurts too much. The shelter for a devotee is to know that Guru and Krishna are free. That's the standard. It's also directed in Bhagavad Gita, multiple places. But that's for if you can ask the question and the answer is yes, then you can be peaceful. But if my spiritual master and I was on one side and Krishna was on the other side and he knew the situation, then maybe peace is this. Is there something that I should be doing differently than what I've been doing? And if the answer is, they would be pleased. That's his shelter. One who doesn't have shelter has this other situation. Every little thing makes you happiness and distress. And nothing is stable because things keep changing. Sometimes it's this and sometimes it's that. So, act in such a way, strive to act in such a way that Guru and Krishna will agree, and that's your shelter. This is the message that I gave on Vinaya Puja today. Expand it. That was the message. Where is your shelter? Or another way of saying, is what's important to you. What other people say is important to you, or that Guru and Krishna thinks is important to you. What is your shelter? If you're feeling accepted in that place of shelter, whatever's going on in the world of duality, you can be aware of it, and maybe or maybe not address yourself to it, but it's not, it doesn't affect yourself at all. You're safe, you're protected, you're happy, you're well-being, you're in one. You're sheltered. And go away from that position and somebody has told this story, but I just said, I'll tell it. I was at the particular place in India, and in India, when you go there, you'll see this from first-hand experience. It's very common to have street dogs. And the street dogs hang out together, and then there's another group of street dogs down there. This group doesn't go across to that group because that's their territory. So I was going for a little walk one morning. And we was on a college campus in India. And there are these dogs. I would pass by regularly because they knew who I was. They raised their heads and they looked at me. They put their heads back down because it was night. So they were still searching. So I just can't be Japanese. As another dog came by, broke out. So one morning, a professor came with a little cute poodle, little white poodle, wagging his tail, and, you know, and just kind of jumping along to that poodle's move. And then the dog saw the poodle coming. So as soon as the dog saw the poodle coming, the professor saw the dog. So he picked up the dog and put the dog under his arm. And with his other hand, he had a stick. And the dog came running out. Woof, woof, woof. Look at these ears. And then they jump on me. And the professor just kept walking. You know, help show the stick like this. And he stopped. And the dogs looked at the stick. They looked at the They looked at each other, and they looked at the stick, and they looked at each other, and they went back and lied down. And the dog sitting there with his little tail going like this, and, you know, licking the professor's face, and he was completely calm and peaceful. Because he was with shelter. Because that very same morning, the verse in purport was tells us speaking about sa, nata, and anata. Sa means with a master. And anatta is one who doesn't have a master. The one who has a master has shelter. And it's a pastor, they say. Nothing can touch him. The master will see for you. He has a big stick. He was ready. He wouldn't need to even whack those dogs. There wasn't anywhere to stop. So, Krishna is our master, and our business, our service is to please him, to serve him. And if what we're doing is done in such a way, even if it's with mistakes, with sincere effort to try to please, we're ready to correct our mistakes too. But our business is to please Krishna, serving Krishna. That's our business. I'm ready to improve and do better. But in that context of that loving shelter. Anyone else?
In a real place, maybe suppose you can have a Christmas tree in the evening. What is the real thing?
Well, if you should chat with somebody. That's why we're always working under some authority, so you should chat with that authority. No. In the real world, as they say, there is accountability. So we should be accountable to someone. So if I'm feeling inspired, there's a particular devotee that gets these, like, frankly, they're mental ideas. And he wants to know, how do I know, blah, blah, blah. So it's through that adjustment. We have our check with somebody. Check with those persons who are well-grounded and take feedback from them. How am I doing? That's part of our, should be part of our Vaishnava culture. We're accountable to someone, and we don't have to wait for them to come and say, here's how things are doing. We can ask them, can you some feedback for us? Besides the appreciation part, what about the room for improvement part? How am I doing? One more. Good building. You have something?
Yeah.
Method?
How do we stop mental
camping? How do we stop mental camping?
How
Beautiful.
The sense of chanting part I got, and how I part I got, but what's the rest of it language?
I don't understand it. What special technique that you have?
Oh.
What special technique do you have so that you need to avoid intensive chanting?
That's the question. I'll say very quickly, I'm a firm believer in the desire to do so is more important than the technique. Having said that, I think some technique. But if the technique is straw without grain, it's just useless labor without the desire to overcome intensive chanting. I can three of the most powerful tools that I've come in contact with, maybe it's just because they inspired me in the moment when I came in contact with them, and therefore I took it seriously, and there was a desire to, and just connected with the tool. One of them is be present. Just to keep it, very food for life. Be present with Krishna. Does that mean something to you? Okay. Like if you're with another person, but your thoughts are elsewhere. You're not present, you're distracted. But if you're with the other person, you're present with the other person, the exchange is very meaningful. There's a connect that's different than if you're, there's a sign on the door that says out to lunch. And the other person is sitting right with you, but you're out to lunch. It's not present. So as in a relationship with another person, with Krishna, with the holy name, be present. So while chanting, I find it an effective tool to consciously be present with the holy name. Just to keep it short, be present with the holy name. Second one is receiving, in one word. And I'll expand it. We normally think of chanting as something you do. But before we can do, we have to receive. And so often, we're very fruitive-minded, we want to do without receiving. And so, chanting in a receiving mode is something that I have found to help me overcome inattentive, and what to speak of overcoming inattentive, experience something that is very wonderful in relationship with the holy name. That idea comes from Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur describing chanting. And he says there's first the negative and then the positive. The negative is chanting is not merely making some sounds with the tongue and the lips and the air pouring through vocal cords. That's not what chanting is. He says you can make a machine that makes the sound, and that's not chanting. Anyway, that's what it isn't. What it is the soul calling for Lord Nityananda. Oh, merciful Lord Nityananda. You are the savior of the most fallen. Please deliver the pure holy name. You see this? And when that pure holy name touches the heart, the sound that is made by those same lips and the same tongue, that is chanting. There's variations on that, but the operative word is receiving. Receive, and then you can chant. then you can give. And then the service that you do is like that also. It's just receiving mercy and you're conscious for mercy. And it's not you, it's just mercy. There's just this little pure soul that's serving Krishna according to whatever mercy comes. According to whatever capacity you have to receive it. Receiving mode while chanting. A third one is Krishna can accept me. And expanding on that one is we turned our back on Krishna. And that's a common phrase that people use. Like somebody, their friend, somebody just up and turns their back on their friend. Does them a dirty turn. Turns their back on their friend. That's not a friend. Don't put them back. So we did that with Krishna. You know, just back on their back. So, devotional service means to regain that position of serving Krishna. So why would Krishna want us back? He wants us back because we love it. So he's eagerly inviting us, but from our side, the eagerness isn't there. So please accept me as I take full responsibility for my wrong, and I recognize I don't have qualification, and there's no reason for you to accept me in your service, but please accept me in your service. Because I'm pleading with you. Be merciful. Although I have no qualification. Rupa Goswami has a nice, in Padmavati, he has a nice prayer to Krishna like that. So, the sutra is, while chanting, in the mood of Krishna can be accepted. It's very powerful. It's not, you know, if it's mechanical, then it's a distraction. You know, the mind is over here, and the mouth is over there. There's no alignment, not from the heart. But if it's genuinely from the heart, then it's powerful. Then the heart, the mind, the mouth, they're all aligned in Krishna. Enter. Merciful Krishna enters. He's just breathing with him from your heart. He will protect you. Once you're in your service. That comes from Bhakti Mode Thakur as a way of deepening one's chanting of the Holy Name by meditating upon the meaning, and that's the meaning. Prabhupada gave us the meaning, please be dangerous in your service. And he's leaving you in your service. It is a sort of version of the same thing. It's with the feeling of contrition. They really just, you know, like Rama after stealing the cow in the cowherd voice. And he didn't really have faith. And he's feeling deep contrition within his heart. It's deep remorse. I accept the responsibility for my wrongdoing. But please keep me in your service. Please accept me. I found it very helpful. Okay. Gentlemen. Sri Prabhupada Jai.
It's the end of the thing now. This time there were so many people that were just so many rumbling, but we lost the two people in the place. Somehow, you know, things just, I don't know what happened to the behind. But we'd like to promise you that by the time we are here next time,
Let me share something back with you. Two something. One is, I'm not a trust budget. Not like, I'm fried. I'm not coming back for that because you guys blew it. No, that's not me. And, I understand, the enemy doesn't cooperate in Guyana like it, like you might want it to. So, I'm not going to try to shake it off. Second thing is, I was just reminded, because I forgot, somebody sent me a little note reminding me, all right, when you start making your calendar for 2010, please remember that the end of December and through the middle of January, there are lectures in India. And so, with that in mind, then you want to have your Vyasa Puja. And so, actually, maybe you can see these meetings, but I'll think about it later. So I just, took a look at the calendar, and when the next CBC meeting is going to happen. I don't have much discussion of time in the middle of December until the end of the CBC meeting. I don't have much of time, because I'm based in North America and have a president's meeting. He's generally gone. Next year before he's elected, it's gone. I don't know what that means. I haven't had time to think about what that means, but I know it's January, it's gone. Next year. Past December, January, February, and tomorrow, it's gone. Of course, for me, it was March 19th. Something like that. You can't remember. It has no bearing on how well technology works in the field of anything like that.
Is there any such thing that there might be a chance to see how that might be?
That's right. For second, between December, mid-December, and for Purnima.
You don't have a problem with that, but at least sometimes.
I haven't had time to imagine what the brain space to think about. Mm-hmm. Depending on this, there's a big obstacle there. Okay. Just for Krishna.
Oh, that's really funny.